Matthew 26, verse 63. Let me say that it's so good to have you here tonight. Amen. I'm glad that you took opportunity and that to come to the house of God to find some help and to find some encouragement and direction. If you're lost tonight, I want you to know, listen, that the Lord Jesus loves you and died for you and will save you if you'll come to Him tonight. Matthew 26 and verse 63. And the Bible says, but Jesus held His peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? And they answered and said, he is guilty of death. And then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Now let me park right here and say in verse 68, I've got pinned out in the margin of my Bible, he could have. They said, you prophesy. Who smote? Hey, he could have if he would have chose to. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came and unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. And then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you and ask for another heaven-sent opportunity to come to your house tonight and worship you. I thank you for the songs that we've sung, testifying that we've heard. Lord, how that you're our friend. And just to think that when we do enter into glory, you'll be there to welcome us, and I thank you for that. But it's come preaching time now, and we certainly need a touch and that from you tonight. Lord, we can't do anything without you, and we need you to come by and help tonight. Help the one that's lost to be saved. Help the one that just needs a touch from you and encourage them. I denied in the Word of God, we just need you tonight. We're a feeble people, and Lord, we're a finite people, and we just need a touch from you tonight. Now move among the church. Tell you again that we love you and thank you for Calvary. Meet with us tonight and save that sinner's nearest tail for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I still struggle, not struggle, but I'm amazed that Jesus would still save sinners tonight. I'm still amazed at that thing, that he would love sinners enough, love me enough, knowing what I am, what I would become. Listen tonight, I'm still in the flesh. I still have problems, but that he would love me enough to save me and put me in the ministry. I'm still amazed at that. In Matthew chapter 26, we find that Jesus is here. I am that before the Jewish council, before the Jewish court. I forget how many laws they broke that night. I am that to try Jesus. And the Bible said right here, as they were saying that he was speaking blasphemy in verse 65, and that for declaring to be the Son of God, they said he was guilty of the hate. Can I say tonight that he was guilty, amen, and that of being the Christ, the Son of God. He was guilty and that of sin, but not his own, but mine tonight. I thank God for that, amen, that there was a sin payment and that made one day at Calvary for me and you. But listen, he's been found guilty. They're fixing to take him off to Pilate. But the Bible said right here that they spit in verse 67 in his face. I mean, how horrible that was, an act of disgrace. No lower act than to be spit on in the face. Not only did they spit on him, but the Bible said they buffeted him. They closed their fists and they began to beat on him. The Bible said that some smote him with the palms of their hands. Hey, listen, he suffered for me and you. Ain't you glad of that tonight, church, that Jesus suffered for us? That's the same man that Miss Brittany was talking about being our friend tonight, the one that took all the ridicule for me and you. And so here, Peter, we find the story of Peter, one of the very few stories that you'll find in all four Gospels, is where Peter denied the Lord. I want you to take your Bible tonight quick. Hold your place in Matthew 26 because we'll come back. But in John chapter 18, we'll get all the names right here in a minute. As Peter is denying the Lord, he's come and that to the high priest palace, and he's there to watch the trial. And the Bible said in verse 16 of John chapter 18, but Peter stood at the door without, and then went out that other disciple, which was known of the high priest, I believe that was John, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. And then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? Listen, the other disciple just went out and talked to the damsel and said, let him come in. And she says, are you also, are you not one of his disciples? Can I tell us tonight that we're guilty by association? What do you mean tonight? Are you not guilty of being part of the Lord's crowd tonight? You're here, ain't you? I mean, your faith, most of you, I look across the crowd, and most of you are faithful to be here. And so he's guilty by association. And by the way, you're guilty by association who you run with. He saith, I am not. And the servants and the officers stood there who made a fire of coals, and for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. I've heard many messages on warming yourself by the devil's fire. But look in verse 25 as we come down and they have talked to the Lord. But in verse 25, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself, and they said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? And he denied it and said, I am not. It's the second time. And one of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off. Remember when they were over there in the garden and they come and said, we're searching for Jesus. And he said, I am he. And when he said that, they all fell down. I believe if I'd have fell down when he said, I am he, I'd have got up and went back to town. Amen. I believe I'd left that man alone. But somewhere in that process, when they come to take Jesus, Peter drew a sword and cut Malchus's ear off. And Jesus reached down on the ground and picked up Malchus's ear and touched it and put it back on. I always wondered why they didn't leave him alone after that. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself, and they said, therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? And he denied it and said, I am not. If somebody asked you if you're a Christian or you're one of his disciples, what would you say tonight? And one of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, did I not see you in the garden with him? And Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. So Peter is in a place, listen to where he has denied the Lord three times. And that's not what I'm going to preach on tonight, but I want to encourage you and that to live a life out of where folk knows whose disciple you are tonight. I want to preach, and if I could, I'd preach on that tonight. I really would, if the Lord would give us liberty to do it. But I want you to look in verse 73. And Peter says, as he is saying, I don't know him. I don't know the man. And here's what they said, surely thou art one of them. Now watch what your Bible says in verse 73. For thy speech bereath thee. And that word bereath means to betray. And they said, Peter, you're telling me you're not one of his disciples, but your speech is betraying you. You talk like you're one of his disciples. You don't talk like us. You talk different. Can I tell you that we should never be guilty of talking like the world? You know that there's some Bible words and some church words that we've got a generation today and generations that wouldn't even know what we're talking about. What do you mean? I hate to tell you how I come to this thought the other day, but the only social media that I do is YouTube. And when you listen to I listen to choir music and congregational music, and so every now and again, for y'all that know, in your feed, things just jump up every now and again. And so as I was going through that feed, there was I hate to tell you this, there was an old Dolly Parton and Porter Wagoner song jumped up in there. Now some of y'all remember them. Some of these kids here ain't even got a clue who I'm talking about when I say Porter Wagoner, amen, and the Wagoneers. Y'all have no idea what I'm talking about. Most of you know who Miss Dolly is. But Dolly had wrote a song about her papa, the old-time preacher man. And I played it for my wife and let her hear it. And as they sung, I told her, I said, there's some words that she used in that song that people ain't even got a clue what she's talking about today. What are you talking about? She talked about when they would give the altar call. We know what the altar call is today, don't we? What's invitation time? Let me ask you, if you got to talking about the mourner's bench or the mourner's pew, to most people, would they know what you're talking about? Think about that for just a second. If we got to talking about camp meeting or revival time, you say, well, the people that I run with would know that. But yeah, but you're running with people just like you probably. We've got to hold you. Let me ask you this. If we got to talking about Calvary, how many people would know what we're talking about? Calvary's an important place. Calvary's so important. If we got to talking about taking a hymn book, how many people would know? I'm talking about Bible words and church words right now. If we use the word sacrifice, how many would know what it means? And we've just got some words that we use that the world just don't know about until we get out there, don't they? Well, I'm telling you, there's some words that we ought to use when we get out there. I'd tell others about the Lord. I'd tell them about His love and His mercy. I'd tell them that judgment's coming. I believe they can understand that. You tell them that hell's real, that hell's hot, friend, that it's kind of, hey, that it ain't a curse word, it ain't a bad word, but that it's a place where sinners die without Christ and spend eternity there because they rejected Him. I'm determined that the devil has turned that word into a curse word just so that it wouldn't bother people. I'm determined to that with all my heart. You sure don't, they don't use heaven as a curse word, do they? They don't use heaven as a byword. But boy, they sure do use hell as one. It takes the sting away from it. It takes the judgment away. It takes the condemnation, the conviction away from it. Hey, there's conviction in that word, friend. But just some words. Bible words.
adultery, fornication. But he said, they said, your speech bereath you. I want to preach tonight on a thought that our words do matter. They matter tonight. What we say matters. Now we grew up saying a little saying that said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words cannot hurt me. That ain't true. Now we are raising generations of people that get offended very easily. We are raising generations of people that don't think that the First Amendment is correct and you should not be able to say what you want to say. I believe you ought to be able to say what you want to say. I do tonight. I mean, we're raising, I don't care, we're raising sissies, friend. They got to have a safe space to go and say it. But come on, grow up, man. You say, well, words can hurt you. They can, but I'm going to be honest with you tonight. You better learn how to take some, because I'm going to be honest with you, this world, and especially when you tell them that you're a Christian, you think they're going to be easy on you. The world's not going to be easy on you just because you're a Christian. But our words do matter. Number one tonight, I want you to understand that first of all, by our speech, the world should know that we're a Christian. They did right here. If you look at Peter's life, they said, your speech, surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech bereath thee, it betrays you. When we get out in the world and begin to talk, can they tell a difference in our speech? What do you mean, preacher? You want me to use Bible words when we go out? That ain't what I'm saying tonight. But I'm going to tell you that you can get around the world and you can just, they can tell a difference in just a little while when you begin to talk. Yeah, you might ought to work in a few Bible words every now and then. Hey, listen, I'm talking to safe. I'm talking to the church. I'm not talking to somebody that's made a profession and knows a few Bible words and knows how to get by. That's not what I'm talking about tonight. There's people out there tonight that knows how to talk, but when it comes to walking the walk, they don't tonight. Hey, I'm telling you that our talk ought to match our walk tonight. Titus chapter 2, he said, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. He said, in all things showing thyself a pattern. He said, you're to be the pattern. In doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. We should have some words and talk so that the world would know we're a Christian. I believe tonight that we should talk about the Lord. Amen. I believe that, listen friend, that the Lord ought to be part of our daily conversation. Or to go out and listen, just go out and get around somebody that you may or may not know, but listen and just begin to talk about how good God has been and how His blessings is, and look on their face and you can tell just in a second or two whether they know what you're talking about. And you can tell if them words put them under conviction or not either. You ever been around somebody and didn't talk about how good God is? And next thing you know, they got their head hanging down. Chances are they're saved. They just ain't been living for Him. Hey, listen, you begin to talk about His salvation and what He's done for you. Hey, Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you except Christ and Him crucified. You begin to talk about that out in the public. And friend, I'm telling you, they'll know there's something different about you. She began to talk about His goodness. I don't know what made Peter different right here, but how Peter talked told on him. They said, your speech bereaves you. It betrays you, Peter. Now notice what he began to do in verse 74. He began to curse and to swear. Now I believe the crowd that he was around, that's what they were doing. They were cursing, they were swearing, but when Peter come in and began to warm himself by the fire, he was not doing that. Can I tell you, sinners pick up on that? Sinners pick up on that tonight. Hey, they understand, but boy, it's getting good, ain't it? Boy, it's got quiet all of a sudden. Well, not all of a sudden, but it's got quiet. Listen, they'll know by the way you talk. David said in Psalm chapter 26 that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Hey, it's one thing to do that in here, but it's another to do it out there. He said, sing unto him, sing songs unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. You are to teach your children how to talk right. You know, it's right way talk, wrong way talk. You're to teach them how to talk right. You're to teach them how to praise the Lord. What do you mean teach them? Well, you're to let them see you do that. You're to tell them it's all. Hey, you ought to tell them that there's coming a day when they're real little. When they're little and they can just barely understand, whether they can't understand, you ought to whisper in their ear and tell them there's going to come a day that there's going to be a voice that speaks to them. They're not going to see nobody there, but there's going to be a voice that comes in their heart and begins to deal with them, that they don't have to worry about that voice. Just do what it says to do, amen, and come unto him. Kind of like with Samuel over there, when the Lord said, Samuel, and he runs to Eli. Three times that happens, and finally Eli realizes what's going on, and he says, Samuel, go back there and lay down. And when you hear that again, you say, for thy servant heareth. You need to teach your children that tonight. That when the Lord comes knocking, not to be worried about that. You don't have to fear that time, but just move and do what He asked you to do. But you need to teach your children and how to thank the Lord and how to praise the Lord. You say, well, you're going to turn my children into something different. I hope so. Amen. Hey man, this world's messed up enough. There's enough going on out there. Friend, it's messed up. I just need to be different. He said, make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of all thy wondrous works. You know, the more and more that we spend in the Word of God, the more that we're probably going to sound like the Lord. You know why some people have problem talking? They don't spend enough time in that book. It's going to come out on you. It's going to show up on you. Listen, the things in this book, when it gets down in our heart, it comes out. Hey, listen, the Bible said a good man out of a good treasure of his heart bringing forth that which is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringing forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. What's in your heart comes out in your mouth tonight. People can tell you one thing, but friend, I'm telling you, the heart will always tell on itself eventually. It'll always do it. See, it ain't. That's correct grammar, ain't it? Just dawned on me. It ain't. I'm going to stay with it. It's not. It's not in here that we really get to know each other. It's out there. Now, we know each other in here. That ain't what I'm saying. But it's when we spend time alone with one another and get around one another and get by ourselves with each other. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? For all you know, I talk right. My wife knows I do talk right. And I'm not talking about grammatically either. But I strive my best to have good words. The scary part is for me is, boy, when something slips out that I wished hadn't slipped out, it makes me look at my heart. You ever said something and boy, while it was coming out of your mouth, you were thinking, why am I saying this? Why? What has happened? Now, sometimes our flesh just gets the best of us if we ain't careful. But it's our job to have right words. I believe Peter had right words till they began to call him on. Let me say this then. Don't get on the job and get around people and just to join in to not have right words. Hey, listen, it's our job. He said in 2 Timothy 1, he said, hold fast the form of sound words. I mean, not only sound doctrine, and we should, and all those things, but he said, look, Timothy, he said, have sound words, have good words that we use. So people, by our words, should know that we're a Christian, but we should have words that help and not hurt. Now, I'm going to deal with that. As you say, sometimes you can't help but to hurt somebody, and I'll deal with that here in a minute. The Bible said in the book of Colossians chapter 4, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. He said, let your speech always be with grace. He said, have some grace about you when you talk. Have some encouraging words. I thought about that, encouraging words. You remember in the book of I'm trying to remember now. When Ziklag was burned, was it 1 Samuel chapter 30? I'd have to go back and look. When Ziklag was burned, and the Bible said that they talked of stoning him. I'd call them bad words, wouldn't you? I mean, they were going to stone him. I mean, everything that they had been carried off, their wives, their sons, their daughters. And this was always amazing to me when I read that story. They didn't kill one of them. Boy, you're talking about God intervening right there and having mercy on David and his men and his people. God kept the enemy from killing anybody. They just carried them off. Go back there and look and see if I ain't telling you the truth, 1 Samuel chapter 30. But the Bible said they spake of stoning him. And the Bible said David had to encourage himself in the Lord. The words he was hearing was not encouraging words. Sometimes it would just be good for us to have encouraging words to somebody that we know is down. Don't you like it when somebody comes by and encourages you spiritually? Hang in there. Listen, God will help you. Stay the course. You say, well, those are all just words and cliches. Hey, I'm telling you, go up to somebody and say, look, I know where you're at. Don't say that unless you do. But if you know where somebody's at, you can say, I've been where you're at. I know God can help you if you'll let Him. Words that'll help. Words of good advice when somebody needs it. I hate giving advice. Hate with passion. So I'm afraid I'm going to say the wrong thing. I'll pray about that thing. I mean, have prayerful words. I mean, pray over what you might tell somebody because they're going to take what you say and they're going to put it into action. And if you gave them wrong advice, you see what I'm saying? I want to see folk do good, not do bad. But he said, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Have a meaning to it. Don't say something just to say it. But let it have a meaning to it and a good meaning to it. And then he said that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Listen, we need to know how to answer. You ever just been around them people that just know what to say and when to say it and how to say it, and they can say it in 30 seconds and I can't say it in 5 minutes? I don't understand that sometimes. But I know that I'll ask the Lord, you're just going to have to give me help in what to say right here that it could be helpful to somebody else. Can I tell you that when we get mad, you know, the Bible talks about in Ecclesiastes 5, and he's talking about making a vow over there, but he makes a statement in Ecclesiastes 5. He says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Now take your Bible tonight and go over to the book of James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Peter's speech has betrayed him. Outside of this building, does our speech betray us? Should. It ought to tell folk who we are. Look in James chapter 3. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Well, ain't that something? James said, if you can learn to bridle your tongue, you can bridle your whole body. If you can get your mouth under control, then you can get the rest of you under control. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small hemp, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. So it don't take much and that for what the mouth says and that to get headed in a certain direction. He said, look, the bridle's little. We put it in the horse's mouth. We move it around. He moves with us. The helm on the back of a ship, even though it's a great big ship, little helm stirs that ship, moves that ship however it needs to go. And verse 5, he said, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth of great things. This thing in the middle of our mouths, it's got more people and probably got you in trouble more than anything else has in the world. That got me more whoopings growing up than I could ever imagine. Well, let me put my glasses back on. How about y'all? I liked to backtalk growing up. An old timer would say I'd sass my mama, but she didn't deal with it, but just for so long. And she was figuring out how to bridle my tongue. She was working on it. I'll just tell you that now. He said right here, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. He said, look, that tongue is a little member, but it don't take much and that to get things started. You know, you can just take a little bitty flame and before it's over with, you can have a raging fire. Ain't that right? Verse 6. And the tongue is a fiery world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Look where he said it would come from. He said, when we're in that position of saying things that we should not say and that we ought not to say, and we're letting it rule. You know, your tongue can't rule. Bless God, I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to say what I want to. You ever been there? I just dare them to tell me I can't say it. Huh? I'll hardly pew in the devil if I don't get it said. Huh? How many? Now, I'm just being honest tonight. How many of us ever been there? I'll say it or die. Sometimes you ought not to say it. Did you know that? I was thinking about a saying that my aunt, when I was growing up, that she used to say. She used to say, it's better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and to remove all doubt. Now, let that settle in for just a second. I know the Tim ain't necessarily Scripture, but boy, I believe Scripture would bear that out. He He said right here, he said, look, this member defiles the whole body. Sometimes you're just better off not to say nothing. Everybody be a whole lot happier. There's been times if I'd have just kept my mouth shut, I'd have been a whole lot happier. You know why I'd have been a whole lot happier? Because my wife would have been a whole lot happier. Let that sink in for just a minute or two. He said, it setteth on fire the course of nature, and it set on fire of hell. He said, look, this thing called your tongue that is kept behind bars of teeth and the door of lips, he said, it sets on fire the course, and it set on fire of hell. That's where it comes from. Verse 7, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. You know, the old saying was the pen was mightier than the sword. What somebody could write or say about somebody else could kill them, not necessarily physically. He said the tongue no man can tame. Verse 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. I've always had a problem with people that come to church on Sunday and would shout it out, and then you'd see them out through the week cussing through the week. I got a problem with that. That may be you. If that's you, you need to get right tonight. Amen. Hey, it does matter what comes out of your mouth tonight. He said you cannot bless God and you cannot curse me and do that and be right with Him tonight. Can't do it. So, preacher, you just don't know. I may not know, but I know what the book says. And I've also let my tongue become unruly when it should not have. He said, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so, or not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either vine, fig, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. You can't do both. You can't talk right and wrong at the same time. You just cannot do it. Why? There's something wrong in the heart if that's the problem. Hurtful words. Wrong words. What makes us use hurtful words or wrong words sometimes? Words of haste. Sometimes, if you don't stop and think for just a minute, have you ever done that? You've been so mad. You ever got mad before? Ain't none of you ever got mad in here, have you, except the preacher? You know, the Bible said, be angry and sin not. So it's okay to get angry at certain things. You just don't need to sin when you get angry. But how many times have we ever in haste and if we would not have stopped ourselves, we would have said something that we have regretted. Some of you are sitting right here and you're thinking, boy, preacher, there has been times that I did not stop myself and I did say something I regretted. The world calls them, for lack of a better way of putting it, they call them toothpaste words, don't they? Because once you squeeze them out of the tube, you can't shove that toothpaste back in the tube. They've already come out. How about words of hate? God help us that we'd ever use hateful words. How about words that when we've been hurt, that words have come out of our mouth that, boy, we just want to hurt somebody back. Well, I know. Preacher, you just don't know how bad they've hurt me, and I want to tell them. I want to tell them. I want to tell them a thing or two. Would it do them any good or do you any good? That's where we have to learn forgiveness. Forgiveness is most of the time not for the person that has hurt you or done you wrong. Forgiveness is for you. Most of the time, people that hurt us, Don't care whether they hurt us or not. Now, if it's a saved person, yeah, you need to go work that thing out and hopefully regain your brother and all those things. And you should. That's biblical. That's scriptural. And I believe that's just the way to be. Amen. Go work it out. But I don't want to use words of hurt just to get back at somebody. I'm talking about words that'll help and not words that'll hurt. How about gossiping words? Boy. That word gossip means to chat or to talk too much. It means idle talk. 1 Peter chapter 4 said, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters." Do you see the category that being a busybody or a gossip puts you in? He said, don't suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or what? As a busybody. I've always found that amazing. 1 Timothy chapter 5, when he is talking about the young widows, he said, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. You know, there's just some things that you know you just ought not to tell. There's some things I know that I ought not to tell. I've had phone calls. People want to know things about I've had other pastors call me about people that has left this church and wants to know. I've had them call and say, well, you know about this person or that person. And I'll be very, let me see how I can put this, very selective about what I'll say. I will tell the truth, but I don't want to tell gossip, do you? Well, it's exciting tonight, ain't it? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command to exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Just be quiet. When I was a kid, I hated the quiet game. Hated the quiet game. Why? I loved to talk. Now I love the quiet game. I like quiet. But the gossip, the one who just has to tell. You ever just run into somebody, and listen, there's going to be things that we've told that we probably shouldn't have told. I'm talking about people that's what they live for. They live to do that. They love to find out something and then go repeat it. He said they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers, also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. We don't need to be that way. Peter, your speech betrays you. If you're keeping count, number 3, and last of all, we ought to have words that are plain and honest. Let me tell you tonight, I say don't use hurtful words. You know, sometimes telling somebody the truth is going to hurt them. But sometimes they need to hear the truth. They need the truth. And if it hurts them, so be it tonight. You can't change the truth. The truth is what it is tonight. But I believe tonight that last of all, we ought to have words that are honest and that are plain. I hate carrying on a conversation with somebody and it be so cryptic that I can't figure out what they're trying to tell me. I hate that. I like plainness. My wife still gets on to me today sometimes. She'll say, you're still just too blunt sometimes. Well, I like it when folk are, but now not hurtful, but just plain. Because I don't have to wonder where they're at. I don't have to wonder what they're trying to say. I don't have to wonder what they're thinking. Just be plain. The Bible said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul said, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Now understand what he's talking about doctrinally right there, about the nation of Israel and all those things. But he said, we use great plainness of speech. Even in my preaching, I want plainness of speech. I want to be very plain. I don't want folk to have to wonder about what the preacher is saying. I hope I've been plain enough tonight that you don't have to wonder what I'm saying. This plainness. Nothing flowery added to it, or exorbitant added to it. It's just plain. Then we want to speak the truth. Ephesians chapter 4 said, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. I don't care what happens, you always tell the truth. The truth. The truth is all that matters. When we speak, we are to speak the truth. Well, preacher, if I tell the truth, it's going to get me fired on the job. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. It may not get you fired. Well, if I tell the truth, it's going to hurt somebody's feelings. Tell the truth. You say, well, can't I just tell a little white lie to spare them of something? Don't back me up in the corner and make me say, tell the truth again. The truth is the only thing that you'll never have to prop up, because it'll stand on its own. Let me ask you something. Even when we don't like it, does the Word of God lie to us? Say, well, if you don't like that part there, then you know what? Just take that little bit out right there. And don't worry with it. Or a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there. Take it out. I'm glad God's Word is honest with us tonight. I think in our speech and in our life, we ought to be an honest people. We ought to be truthful in everything that we do. In all our actions, in our words, in everything, in our dealings, we ought to be honest in all of it. They said, Peter, your speech betrays you. And he began to curse and began to swear so that he could sound like them. How about you tonight? How's your speech? How's your talking? Say, preacher, it's pretty good. Okay. You know, God gives us opportunity to talk to people. Do we take advantage of it? Do we use our speech like we should? I didn't even talk about that tonight, using it for Him and accepting praise in Him, but do we use it to win others to Christ? He's gave us the ability to talk. We should be winning others to Christ. Let's bow our head tonight, if we would.